Grace and peace in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we worship this blessed day. Amen. The text for our sermon is the gospel reading. Let us pray as we continue to hear God's word. Oh Lord, pour out the Holy Spirit on your church and help us always to hear. Help us to concentrate on your word, to digest it spiritually in our hearts, and give us faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And after hearing the gospel today, we might follow that with, we are afraid. We are afraid indeed, and not an alleluia, but how awful. Or we doubt. And we doubt indeed, and not alleluia, but how awful. Today, reality sets in a little bit for the church. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, instruments, choirs, singing, rejoicing, jelly beans, Easter bunnies, lots of ham, family, joy, peace. It's Easter Sunday, and rightly so. But this Sunday, we are reminded that the Christian life isn't always joy and peace and smiles and trumpets and singing and praise and jelly beans and chocolate bunnies and ham. As we walk on this earth, the Christian life is often one of a lot of fear. And we want to hide. And the Christian life is one of a lot of doubt. And so we don't believe. We want some kind of proof. And that's the Christian life on this earth. It's a little bit of a reality check. The church isn't all that excited that he's alive this second Sunday in Easter. Scared and doubting. And yet there are three wonderful blessings that God gives to his struggling little church here this second Sunday of Easter. The risen one doesn't forsake them. He doesn't yell at them and rebuke them. He is so kind and loving to come to these pathetic men and women. Three great blessings that would help us with our fears, that we would believe, that would help us with our doubts, that we believe and have confidence and boldness to live, no matter what enemies are out there, what challenges, what trials, to live until we go to heaven. These three things we need critically, and they're taught here in this gospel. Number one, this is secondary but important, how we need the fellowship of believers. This is a good little gospel lesson on the church. It's secondary, but it's there. How we need each other. We need brothers and sisters. We need to be together. We need our church family. We need fellow believers to encourage us, pray with us, cry with us, listen to us, help us, support us, and encourage some more, and encourage some more, maybe rebuke now and then, and to love. Note a couple of little amazing things here, which is all part of the power of the risen Lord and the Spirit. First of all, notice that Easter evening, the disciples are all together in that room. There's just 10 of them. Thomas is not there. Judas has committed suicide. But the other 10 are all there, and maybe some women are there too. We don't know exactly. That's a little minor miracle of the risen Lord already and the Spirit, that they're together. You'd think they'd be very angry, pointing fingers. Peter, you are our leader, yet you denied him three times. You're no longer our leader, Peter. And John, you were there at the cross, but why didn't you help Jesus? Why didn't you speak up, John? And why did the rest of you all leave and scatter and run away scared like a bunch of little baby chickens or something? They could have been pointing fingers, angry, divided. They're all in their separate little homes, crying and weeping. But they are together. They learned anything from Jesus, it's to love each other. For he loves them, and to be brothers to each other. And they're in that room, guilt-ridden and crying and weeping, but they're together. And then also notice how Thomas is with them the next week. This is also love. Thomas was not there Easter evening. Thomas was a loner. Thomas was a pessimist. He was a realist. It is Thomas who said, when Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, Thomas said, but we'll just go die with you then, Jesus. Thomas knew of death. He knew death was coming. He was a realist. We'll just go die with you. It's going to end in death. Thomas is a loner, and yet he's there the following week. How? This is the power of the Spirit and the risen Lord working through the church. The other disciples encourage him. The entire week they tell him, as the text says, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord. They go after Thomas. They don't leave him out there wherever he was. They go after him and find him. He's their brother. And they tell him, we've seen the Lord. He doesn't believe. Yet they're patient with him. They're patient. They keep telling him. They don't say, well, forget you. Go off in your own little life. Bye. They're patient. They're loving. And they make sure he's there the next Sunday. I'm sure Thomas didn't want to be there. He doesn't believe. This is nonsense. Let's move on with our lives. I suggest he's there because of the love and the support and the encouragement of his brothers. Come, Thomas, come. Christ will appear. We're certain of it. Come, Thomas. Come on, Thomas. Be here. I know you don't feel like it, but be here. And so Thomas is there, and oh, the joy of seeing the risen Lord. Couple lessons. If you're a loner like Thomas, you like to be by yourself, beware. A sheep by itself is very vulnerable to the wolf. The Christian is never called to be by himself or herself, a loner. You need your brothers and sisters. As sinful as the church is, as sinful as the pastor is, we need each other in this battle of faith. We'll be eaten up by the devil, the great wolf. Come back. And if you know someone who's a Thomas, someone who's strayed, who's off by themselves, and they're angry about this and that, or they just doubt it all, don't ignore them. That's not love. Don't say, well, forget about them. That's not love. Don't say, that's the pastor's job. That's the elder's job. Yes, we should certainly be a part of that. But you can do something. You're a brother or sister. You can give a phone call. You can give a text. You can give an email. You can say, I'll pick you up for church. I miss you. You can listen to them, share with them, encourage them, and bring them to church. You can do that. It's called Christian love. Loving my church family. I want them all there. Maybe the disciples thought of Judas. And no one was there for Judas when he betrayed the Lord and he felt so guilty. No other disciple was there and he went and killed himself. And maybe they thought to themselves, we're not going to let that happen again. We're going to go find Thomas. We're going to bring him back. He's our brother. We'll never let there be another Judas. We're going to be there for our doubting brother. How we need the fellowship of believers. How we need each other to love each other. I read of a man who was very depressed and sad. And you know what he did for 10 years? For 10 years, he played the game of solitaire. He played that game 132,000 times over 10 years. 30 or 40 times a day to pass the days. And guess what his condition was after 10 years? He was still pretty depressed and sad. There's a lot of depressed, sad people there that want to leave the solitary life. May we love. You know someone, or two or three. Make a phone call, a text today. But more than just the fellowship of believers, they're important here, they're together. But oh, to battle against fear and doubt, how we above all need the body of Jesus, the risen body of Jesus, to touch the body, to eat the body, and to drink the blood. There's nothing like the risen body and blood of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, to rid us of our fears and doubts. That's above all what we need. They have each other, but that's not going to do enough. We need Christ Himself. You know, notice Thomas. We're hard on Thomas this Sunday. How could he doubt? How could he doubt? And he did sin. But notice something about Thomas. Thomas just wants to see Jesus. If he's alive, I want to see him, see the scars, and I want to touch him. To make sure he's not an imposter, he's not a spirit, he's not a ghost, it's really true. Thomas doesn't ask for a miracle. I want some miracle in the sky. I want the stars to align. I want the angels to come down and sing to me. I want the Father to appear to me. I need some special miracle that God must do if I'm going to believe. I just need the risen Lord to touch him. And Jesus gives that to him. Come and touch the scars. Put your hand into my side. Touch me. Realize it's me. I'm risen. And then Thomas gives a great confession. My Lord and my God. This is the great concluding confession of John's gospel. My Lord and my God. Say it with me. My Lord and my God. He doesn't hold back. He confesses. And that's the church. Let's not call him doubting Thomas, but shouting Thomas, because he believes. And so we come with our fears and our doubts. Do you love me, God? Do you care? Where are you, God? We're afraid of Sickness, disease, cancer, death, war, ISIS, job loss, economy, whatever it is, we're afraid and we doubt. But we, like Thomas, we don't ask, give me some miracle, God in the sky. Show yourself to me, Father. Give me a great heavenly host to appear to me. We just come to touch the body of my risen Lord, to eat the body and drink the blood, and we are all Thomas at the communion table. This meal is for doubters. This meal is for the sick. Don't wait around to have some great faith to commune. You're sick, you doubt, you're afraid. Here Christ says, this is my body. What are you afraid of? I've conquered hell. This is my blood shed for you. You're forgiven of your sins. What are you afraid of? I am with you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Here it is, the risen Lord. We can face the devil and all the hosts of hell. We can face cancer and death and ISIS and a job loss. Whatever it is, I can face it because the risen Lord is with me. And he's overcome all. I get home on an evening and I sit in my chair, want to read the paper, watch a little news, and guess what rubs up against pastor's legs? My beloved cat. And the cat will rub against my legs and go back and rub again and go back and rub again. And what's pastor do? Cat, one more time, buddy. No. But I begrudgingly say, he doesn't jump in my lap, just rubs against my legs. He wants to be fed. He's saying, Master, feed me. You like to eat, Master. I like to eat too, so please feed me. So I begrudgingly get up and give it a little food. I even pet the cat a little bit. Just wants to touch me. Just wants to touch me. Master will take care of me. And so we come to our Master to touch. And oh, he doesn't begrudgingly say, I'll feed you. Oh, he is here. And he gives himself to us. Come touch me. Come eat with me. Come eat of me. And have no doubts that I love you. And he also allows us to jump up in his lap. Oh, how I love you. No one can snatch you a little hand out of my hands. And we jump into his loving lap today. And then finally, to battle fear and doubt, we have the Bible. We have the whole Bible, 66 books. And John notes that at the end of the gospel lesson, these things are written. Why did John write all this? 21 chapters and so forth. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, that by believing you have life in his name. John wrote all his book that we would believe. He writes about Thomas and the risen Lord that we would believe. We have the other 65 books of the Bible that we would believe. The Bible is here not just so that we know a few facts about God, that we might speculate about God, wonder about God, think about God, have some nice stories to teach our Sunday school children, but we would believe and have faith and have confidence and have hope in this God and peace in this God and know we're going to heaven and know we are forgiven and know we're loved by God no matter what, that we have been believed. That's why we have the Bible. So you have fear and you have doubt. Hear the Word of God and hear it often and study it. And memorize it. And memorize some more. And study and hear and learn. And spiritually digest the Word of God. It takes away fear. It takes away doubt. God lives. God reigns. Nothing can defeat me. No wonder why we're afraid. Scared people doubting. When we don't commune and we don't hear the Word of God much. We just hear all the noise out there. Not a surprise. When I was a 12-year-old boy, this time of the year, I was playing Little League Baseball in Indiana. And I was a pretty good pitcher. But I remember we had a Babe Ruth in our league, and it wasn't Paul Buescher. His name was Bruce Van Horn. Still remember his name. This kid was 12 years old, and he was about 6'3". And if he touched the ball, it was over the fence. And I had to face him on the mound about 3 or 4 times a year, and I was terrified every time. Oh, no, I got to face Babe Ruth. He's like Goliath, and I was like David. And my dad would say, you can pitch to him. I said, I'm just going to walk him, Dad. And my dad said, don't walk him, just hit him. I'm not going to hit him. Come on, Dad. Just walk him. And Dad said, no, you challenge him. You strike him out. You're a Buescher kid. Come on. And I was scared. No, why? He's not going to hit home runs against me. I'll just walk him. Then I remember one time my older brother Dave was there. Dave was 16 years old. Dave was strong, and Dave could throw a fastball. 16 years old, and I remember Dave saying, "You're a chicken. Maybe I should just put on your uniform and put on your hat, and I'll go out and pitch to him and strike him out." And I said, "Dave, that's really a good idea. Let's do that." Doesn't work that way. But it works that way with God. We scared people. God puts on our uniform. It's our human flesh. He conquers all the Goliaths out there, all the enemies, putting on our uniform. No joke, no kidding around. That's what Jesus did. Put on our human flesh and conquered sin, death, the devil, and all of hell for us. And we sit on the sideline and rejoice in the victory, and now we go follow him, our big brother Jesus. Dave couldn't do it for me, but Jesus has done everything for me. And that's the good news of Scripture. The God who's taken our place, the advocate, the propitiation for our sins, and conquered all. Read it, study it. We are afraid indeed, how awful. We doubt indeed, how awful. But oh, how good and wonderful our God is. We have the fellowship of believers. We partake of the body and blood and touch and eat and drink. And we hear the words of Scripture. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let us rise. We'll confess our faith, the word.